You're tuned to KBOO Portland Community Radio. It is time now for Health Watch. Today, Dr. David Naiman interviews herbalist and writer Andrew Gedert, author of Healing Skin Disorders, Natural Treatments for Dermatological Conditions. This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from The Way of Health, a nonprofit health clinic emphasizing internal medicine, including special programs for mental health issues such as depression or anxiety, Chinese medicine, and acupuncture. The Way of Health is located at the corner of Southeast Market at 106th Avenue in Portland. Information at 503-788-4165. And don't forget that at 10:30, Earthwatch comes up today, hosted by Chris Andre. And at 11 o'clock, Democracy Now! Features information about total information awareness, a plan to create the world's largest surveillance database to track everything that you do. Look forward to that. Here comes Health Watch. The purpose of this program is not to prescribe a treatment to individuals. Listeners should consult their healthcare practitioner before attempting any treatment.
Good morning and welcome to Health Watch. I'm Dr. David Naiman, your host. Today's guest is Andrew Gedert. Andrew Gedert is one of the foremost herbalists and authorities on alternative treatments for skin disorders. Mr. Gedert has studied nutrition, herbology, and Chinese medicine with master herbalists in the United States and China, and has been on the protocol team of several scientific studies sponsored by the National Institute of Health's Office of Alternative Medicine. Mr. Andrew Gedert is the author of several books, including Healing Digestive Disorders and Chinese Herbs in the Western Clinic, and he is here today to talk about his book, Healing Skin Disorders, Natural Treatments for Dermatological Conditions. If you have any questions for Andrew Gedert, the phone number here at the studio is 503-231-8187. Welcome to Health Watch.
Hello.
Hello. Well, why don't we start out, Andrew, with what you consider to be the role of the skin in the body. I would imagine that as a Chinese practitioner, you may have a different view than the standard conventional view of the skin.
Well, I don't know if I have a different view. The skin is one of the largest organs in the body, and it's probably the chief protective organ in the body. In other words, it's a barrier. And one of the interesting things is the ancient Chinese had an idea of the immune system, and they basically thought that the immune system was stronger if your pores were a little bit tighter. And they basically talked about the defensive, they didn't call it the immune system, they called it defensive energy. And so certain herbs and dietary habits and lifestyle habits could be used to improve the defensive energy. And one of the aspects of that, again, is the skin and the pores being closed was said to be an important aspect. It was said that if the pores were too open, then disease could come in. And a practical application of that in the modern day is let's say we're exercising, it's in Portland and it's raining and it's cold and we're exercising. Well, if we don't have an extra protective layer, like some kind of like light windbreaker or nice thermal type of sweater, basically we're sweating and that's going to open up the pores, and then we're outside and it's cold. And at least under this theory that if we're, you know, just have a t-shirt out and it's 40 degrees and it's raining, that would predispose us to be to perhaps get sick. And of course there are other things that are involved in that, is you know, your diet and overall lifestyle and how much water you're drinking and those sort of things. But that's just a demonstration of the sort of the ancient theory.
Well, one of the things that I think a lot of natural health practitioners realize is the connection between digestion and skin health as well, which might come to a surprise to a lot of listeners.
Mm-hmm, that's right. I mean, basically all the organs and body systems are interrelated, and you know, a little bit is indicative of the whole, and the whole is indicative of the little parts of the body's overall health. But yeah, in terms of the modern day as well as the ancient Chinese concept, both the digestive and the skin were important for this concept of defensive energy, which now we call the immune system. So how well your digestive aspect, for instance, a very common example is if you have very poor nutrition, particularly a lot of seniors get very dry skin. skin. And so, and part of that is because they have a lack of fruits and vegetables in the diet. And fruits and vegetables, of course, are moisturizing. And so, for instance, if we eat a lot of fruits and vegetables, not only could we become more regular, but basically we're consuming a lot of water-rich products, namely fruits and vegetables, and they would, at least in theory, help keep our skin more moist in the winter time.
Well, let's go a little more in depth with dietary approaches for skin problems. What would be the main foods that when people come to see you, you counsel them to minimize or avoid?
Well, I think that in general, and this would be another similarity between a digestive friendly as well as a skin type of healthy diet. The best diet is one that really emphasizes fruits and vegetables and lean sources of protein. Now, certain grains we usually in our clinic recommend what we call alternative grains, which include things like quinoa, may include rice, millet, things of that sort of nature. And depending upon how serious if you can tolerate wheat at all, we might stir people in the direction of some of the alternative alternative gluten sources such as kamut and spelt. It's important to note that kamut and spelt do contain gluten. So if people have a gluten sensitivity, that they may not be appropriate. But anyway, we typically, for both skin and digestive disorders, recommend our clients, eat plenty of fruits and vegetables, lean sources of protein, and then use the alternative grains. One of the things, the main things that cause the skin problems is sugars and sweets. And one of the most interesting things is the Inuit, also known as Eskimos, up in Alaska. Basically, they had no problem with oil, and traditionally the diet up there consists of a lot of fat, including things like whale blubber and salmon and things like that. Well, they had no skin problems. They didn't have skin problems up in Alaska, in the far reaches of Alaska, the native populations, until they were introduced to sugars and sweets, such as candy bars and cookies and cakes and that sort of thing. Basically, it's important. Many of our teenagers, or maybe our kids and stuff, I doubt many of the teenagers are listening to the program, but certainly your kids are maybe consuming a lot of sweeteners, sugary drinks, sodas, artificial sweeteners, and I believe that these have a tremendous role in basically creating acne and other type of conditions. In Chinese medicine, sugar is basically considered warming, and the more concentrated the sugar source is, the more warming it is. And so basically these are considered using sugar is considered warming and dampening. And dampening really has to do with, for instance, if you look at acne, it looks kind of warm in that it can be red, and it can be oily and kind of swollen and kind of cheesy looking. Well, basically, that's the practical manifestation of dampness. So when we want to try to avoid most skin conditions, it's just another way of saying we want to try to improve our overall diet and our overall nutrition.
Do you have strategies you use for people to overcome cravings for sweets and sugar?
Well, that's a big issue. I think the number one strategy for cravings of sweets and sugar is adequate protein. And so the simplest take-home message is if you feel like you want something sweet, try something that has some protein in it instead. That's the first approach. Some people report that the nutritional supplement chromium, also known as like chromium picolinate, and there's very many forms of chromium, also can be used in helping with sugar cravings. And usually the dosage of chromium for that purpose is anywhere from 2 to 600 micrograms a day. And a microgram is basically mcg. What we usually think of is grams, which are g, and milligrams, which are mg. These are mcg, which is micrograms. So you need just a little tiny bit of chromium, and that can help many people counter their sugar cravings. But I think the thing to start off with is the two things that I recommend in my clinic is more protein first, and second of all, perhaps try fruits, whole fruits, instead of something sugary and sweet that basically has sugar or some kind of sweetener like fructose.
We're talking today with Andrew Gettert, the author of Healing Skin Disorders, Natural Treatments for Dermatological Conditions. If you'd like to join the conversation on Health Watch, the number is 503-231-8187. So you have an interesting chapter, Andrew, on emotions and how they relate to skin disorders. And I would love it if you could touch on a little bit of that from your book.
Right. Well, in general, the skin is a reflection of our inner world. And so, and I know that for some listeners will sound very right on, and some people will be a little bit perplexed by that. But the bottom line is that, if we're very, very angry, like we know this from, people we know, or we know this from like seeing talk show hosts or whatever, when people are angry, they often, their skin turns red, particularly in the face. And, in Chinese medicine, it's called liver heat rising. So, if I'm all of a sudden explosive and somebody cut me off on the freeway, my face might turn red. Well, that's an expression of our inside world, the anger. But also the other manifestations of, you may know if somebody have a friend or family or loved one who is very, very pale, and not always, but that can also mimic some sort of internal fear. Like, so if we're very fearful and very quiet, we don't like to interact too many people, we may be very, very pale. And certainly going along with that would be, a sluggish aspect. So some of the clients we see here, they, are very, very, very startled when they hear noises, and they don't really like to talk very loud. They just talk in kind of a whisper. And many times those clients are very, very pale, and so that can sometimes manifest some kind of a fear underneath. So I think that, one of the things that we oftentimes use in our clinic is this whole idea of, what is the metaphor of the symptom? Unfortunately, our body can't really talk to us. So how does our body communicate with us? It communicates with us in terms of how we feel. And so a lot of times we don't analyze this, but some of those days that we just, feel just great and on top of the world, our body's telling us, yeah, you're doing the right thing. You're thinking the right thoughts and you're having the right habits. But on the other hand, we may have, like, say, a skin condition, and we may have what looks like a red, angry, quote-unquote, looking welt, or we may have a skin with a very kind of nasty pustular discharge. And one of the things that people you can actually do to help stimulate your own self-healing is just say, well, what is really the manifestation of this? Why am I having, what could this mean? And, is this something that I'm doing wrong in my life in terms of either my relationships or my diet or my overall lifestyle?
Well, let's take a caller. Welcome to Health Watch. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks for having this conversation.
You're welcome.
It seems as though a lot of the times Western medicine prescribes steroids for skin
conditions. Right, yeah.
And I'm just wondering how we get over the steroid craze
right.
with the skin condition and what they're accomplishing with the steroids.
Well, steroids, we have to say, can be life-threatening medications, particularly when they're taken orally. Now, in terms of with skin conditions, one of the problems with standard dermatology, there are many good things about standard dermatology. One of the bad things about standard dermatology is typically if they really don't know what to do, or if you have various conditions such as psoriasis or eczema, these are very, very common conditions, that they just basically apply steroids. And what the steroid does is it does two things. One is it reduces inflammation, and it also starts destroying the skin. So, and many people notice this in their own life. They had a skin problem for 12 years, and they may have noticed that the first 6 months or first year, wow, that steroid cream looked like worked like a miracle. And then after a period of time, the doctors typically will prescribe more heavy duty steroids, more stronger and stronger steroids. And this actually helps destroy the skin. It really destroys the immunity of the skin and other aspects of the healthy skin. So remember, and the other thing is that the skin is upset for a reason. Usually, again, it's something that we're not feeding the skin correctly, we're not feeding our lifestyle or our diet is wrong, and that's why for our bodies, and that's why the skin is freaking out. So kind of like applying a steroid is a lot like if we have a problem with our car. Well, you know, if you have a warning light that goes on, you can stop the warning light by just taking a hammer and basically knocking out the warning light. But sooner or later, your car is gonna blow up or crash or stop. So it's really important to realize what that message means and realize the problem with steroids are really oftentimes that they just suppress the symptoms and they do definitely damage the skin. And this is known in terms of Western medicine. It's just that they don't have a lot of choices other than the steroids.
My second question is, skin diseases manifest in different places on your body, and what is the relationship to where they're showing up on your body to maybe what the cause of it would be?
Well, that's a pretty in-depth, difficult question, but one of the things you might do, particularly if you were interested in this, is if you look at a book on, if you go to a bookstore and you look at a book on acupuncture or acupressure, they have basically meridians. And if you could find a particular, you know, if you typically have a wart or other kind of a growth on a certain area at a regular spot, you might want to look at an acupuncture chart. And again, a lot of the acupressure books also have variations of acupuncture meridians. But anyway, if you could find out where it's located on the meridian line, that would may or may not give you some information about what organ that's causing that and what's affecting that. And I say may because it's more that this is something that will give you some interesting information that's something that you want to reflect on. It's not always because, for instance, somebody has a marking on their liver line doesn't mean that they necessarily have liver cancer or hepatitis or anything, but they may or may not have some issues around the liver and anger and that sort of thing. So this is something that you could think about and play around with it in your own life.
Well, let's take another caller. Welcome to Health Watch. You're on the air.
Hello. You had mentioned a pale complexion, and I was just curious what you had to say about having a really red complexion.
Right. Well, in general, a red complexion means that generally that the person may have some anger, or it may mean that there's some anger, in their past, in their past genetics or whatever. So it may even be possible that say dad was a very mean, you know, person, but and the son was not necessarily mean, but may still have that kind of red marking on the face. So usually I think that skin that's very red has to do with extra heat and perhaps other issues such as anger.
And what would you do to help cure that?
Well, I think the first and easiest suggestion would be to drink a lot of water. You know, water is basically very, very good for homeostasis. So if somebody, particularly if they had very red face or got red in the face a lot, counsel them to drink at least 64 ounces of water a day. That's just a good habit for about everybody. And then again, because heat is calmed down by water, just like in regular life. So again, eating more fruits and vegetables would be probably a real good idea for that person.
Thanks so much.
And I'd imagine, Andrew, there are specific fruits you'd think of or vegetables that are particularly cooling?
Well, there sure are, but I tend not to try to make it too complicated for our clients. One of the particular fruits that I think is found all over your area in Portland area is pears, for instance. And what's nice about pears is they're thought to, at least in Chinese medicine, thought to be very, very good for the lungs. Many people like pears because they're pretty sweet. So that's one of the ingredients that I could think of right off the bat that might be helpful for people with some skin conditions, particularly if they tend to be red. Another thing to think about, and this is not universal, But, for instance, soy products tend to be more cooling. And so, many women notice that if they take soy as food or soy supplements, that they have less hot flashes. Well, people have very rooty skin, usually just have, they're having hot flashes all the time, and that's why they're, in other words, they might not express it as a hot flash, but it's a manifestation that may resemble a hot flash. So another food that just came, rolling off my brain was perhaps soy products might be also useful if a person was able to digest and assimilate the soy products okay.
And what's your opinion on the use of cosmetics and soaps and helping people find the right products to keep their skin healthy topically?
Right. Well, I am biased in terms of I really like natural products. So I think that oftentimes, health food stores and natural pharmacies, they have more natural cosmetics. And I think that, the department store and some of the other large outlets or whatever, you may be getting a lot of things like petroleum products. And for some people, a lot of the other items that are used are actually can aggravate the skin. In other words, there are certain cosmetics that are fine for 50% or even 80% of the people who use them. But again, people with skin conditions tend to have more sensitive skin. And so they might react to various synthetic agents put into the products, or sometimes it's the preservative aspects that are harmful, chemical preservatives. So I really like to get my skin products from natural health food stores or natural pharmacies, or if we really have a skin condition like eczema or psoriasis, it might be a good idea to see a local naturopath or acupuncturist who practices herbs.
And does a Chinese perspective have an opinion on frequency of washing, and is there the possibility of overdoing soap?
Well, that's a very good good comment. And many people the skin, like many of our organs, really likes to maintain a sense of balance. And so, let's take the teenager with really bad acne. Typically, again, they're eating too many sugar products, and then they may be actually overdoing it by stripping away all the healthy oils. And so what I mean by that is that if you have oil on your skin, a lot of people are going to apply soaps and waters maybe several times a day, and that can be counterproductive because all of a sudden the skin, basically sees that it's too dry and then tries to create even more oil. So I think one of the and also I'd like to add that some of my clients that have severe eczema and psoriasis, severe dry skin, I had one client who was only able to take one shower a week because basically the shower was hot and dried his skin out. So he basically just used spit baths used a lot of water, just kind of water rinses, and he, if anything, was putting more oils into his skin as opposed to washing away all the dirt and things like that. So I would, in other words, to summarize, I would say that people don't necessarily want to use soap and water washing in general more than once a day. And then if your skin just seems to be oily or if odor is an issue, then you might consider just using what I call spit baths or sponge baths, which is just basically using a sponge and or a washcloth and a little bit of water and just kind of wiping sensitive areas down.
Let's take another caller. Welcome to Health Watch. You're on the air.
Thank you. Really interesting show. Here's a case. This is just a very unusual recent occurrence. I'm talking about a male in his 50s who's had excellent skin his whole life, and all of a sudden, on either side of the mouth, there appears kind of a red raised area, just real on the corners of the mouth, to the extent that this individual has grown his mustache back, and there was some dry skin and some kind of cracking, a little bit of cracking right in the corners of the mouth, and this just appeared, and like I say, with basically a healthy history of good skin. What, if anything, could generate something so seemingly out of the blue?
Right. Well, and did that person, you know, ever have a diagnosis from a dermatologist?
No.
Okay. I just wanted to make one plug, although I was a little bit, you know, I think that sometimes the treatments used by dermatologists can be a little bit excessive, such as the overuse of steroids. But also, I think if you do have a skin condition, it's always a good idea to see a dermatologist, because, for instance, like over the phone, you know, I couldn't really hazard to guess that there's one of 20 conditions that person might have. It's probably some kind of, you know, probably some kind of eczema, but you know, really without seeing it, you know, I wouldn't really know. So I think that's always a good idea, because it is important to remember that skin cancer in the United States is of epidemic proportions, and so something that looks to you or me like a red rash may or may not be the beginning signs of skin cancer. So always a good idea to see a dermatologist. And so basically one of the things you'd ask me is well, what could cause that? And really just, you know, one of the things is antibiotics oftentimes cause rashes. So there are many things. It could be that your friend recently started like an antibiotic and had a reaction, or another drug, for instance, that are known to cause rashes. That's just one of the things that I would think about. But, you know, what I was trying to encourage the folks to do out there is to really think about, well, all of a sudden I've got a symptom. It could be on my skin, could be anywhere. Well, you want to think about, well, have I really, what's changed for me all of a sudden? Has my diet changed? Am I more upset? I'm more relaxed? You know, what's going on in my life, and kind of analyzing it that way. I think that, you know, if a person began a drug or even maybe a nutritional supplement or an herb recently and you got a rash, then you might want to find out more about, you know, what you're taking, and maybe as soon as you go off of it, the rash goes away. And I think that would be some of the things to just start with. But I think that it's always a good idea to get kind of a diagnostic workup. And one of the reasons I said dermatologists is that dermatologists are looking at the skin, you know, all the time. I know of cases where, you know, emergency room doctors made mistakes in terms of diagnosing skin conditions. So those of us who are herbalists, naturopaths, acupuncturists probably don't, you know, do quite an adequate job in terms of diagnosis. So I think whenever people can afford it, you know, see a dermatologist for actually a diagnosis.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you for the call. I'd just like to second that I think that, at least in my experience, dermatology seems to be one of the more challenging diagnostic categories.
Right.
Well, do you have any way you can, anywhere you can point our listeners to for further resources?
Well, for one thing, there's my book, Healing Skin Disorders. My new book is actually called Healing Immune Disorders. So that would be one thing. Basically, I have a website, and the website is healthconcerns1word.com, healthconcerns.com. And basically that would be those would be two good resources in terms of finding out more about how you could might be able to treat your skin. And also, if you're unable to find a health practitioner in your area, may be able to find you the name of an herbalist if you're outside of Portland. There's a lot of great herbal providers in Portland itself, but if you're outside Portland, I might be able to help you if you can't find somebody.
Well, it was a pleasure having you here today, and we'd love to have you back.
I'd be glad to come back anytime.
Perhaps to talk about your immune disorder or your digestive disorder book.
I'd be glad to do that.
Thanks for being here on Health
Watch. Okay, thank you very much. Bye-bye now.
We were talking today with Andrew Gettert, the author of Healing Skin Disorders, Natural Treatments for Dermatological Conditions. Stay tuned for Earth Watch, and then at 11, Democracy Now!
it's just about 10:30 here on KBOO Portland. Coming up next, it's Earthwatch today, hosted by Chris Andre. Today, the topic is land use woes for the community of Tumalo in Deschutes County, Oregon. But Healthwatch is a program that's been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Food Front Cooperative Grocery, specializing in foods from local and organic producers. Food Front is located in Northwest Portland at 24th and Northwest Thurman. For more information, the number is 503-222-5658. So Earthwatch is coming right up, but at 11 o'clock on Democracy Now!, hear about Total Information Awareness, a plan to create the world's largest surveillance database to track your phone calls, purchases, internet usage, reading materials, banking transactions, all of which has been quietly continuing at the NSA. And human rights attorneys Clive Stafford Smith and Michael Ratner discuss U.S. detainees.